Hey, this is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction show. Truth, because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along. Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Joel Elston here. It's Thursday, September the 15th, 2016. And this week we have decided we're going to talk about the Law of Attraction and our individual uniqueness. And Joel, I have to admit, I'm a little surprised we haven't talked about this before, because we've both discovered over the time we've been working together, we both are philosophically libertarian, which is all about individuality. You would have thought we would have talked about this by now, but no, we haven't.
And that it really, to be this far along in the show and the multiple episodes that we've done and not, it is sort of baffling, because it is such an important point in understanding how the law of attraction works.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, this is one of the big paradoxes, if you will, about libertarians. And anybody who knows a libertarian, especially if you're not a libertarian, you'll recognize this whole thing, I'm sure. Most libertarians are what I call negatarians. And I'm sure you know exactly what I mean, because there's always something wrong. No matter what they look at, whether it be in government or in politics in general or the world, there's always something wrong. They're negatarians. There can never be anything good. And here's the interesting thing, Joel. I've actually done this with a few libertarians I know. I've asked them to describe to me in positive, non-negative terminology what an ideal libertarian society would look like. And you know what? They can't do it. The answers come out, well, there wouldn't be oppressive government. There wouldn't be this. There wouldn't be that. They can't actually describe what it would look like. And while that's a very strong characteristic of negatarians, what I have begun to realize is it actually applies to a lot of people in life. No matter what their political beliefs are, it can be just their basic orientation. But there are a lot of people in life who just look at everything negatively. So this whole idea, this concept of looking at individual uniqueness, I think is actually critical, because it's one of the first steps you have to take if you want to actually move away from being negative all the time.
Well, and that understanding, that underlying premise of, like you're saying, whether it's describing politics or describing your situation, I'm amazed that people can tell you all day what they don't want.
Yeah.
But when they really tell you what they do want, it's very difficult for them to get that out. Now, they can come up with nebulous ideas, and the law of attraction works on specifics and you know, by creating specific visions and beliefs in your mind. And when you can't do that, that is really why so many people get stuck attracting what they don't want, because they're focused on what they don't want.
Well, we should point out, you can actually attract good stuff without having specifics in mind. If you can just get yourself into a good,
sure,
positive frame of mind, just stay there,
sure,
without having any particular, you know, desires in mind, good stuff happens anyway.
Right.
But you're right. That's where most of it is oriented. And even more so, it's amazing to me. I'll see it on sports boards online. I'll see it on news boards. I'll see it on virtually any kind of public board you can think of online, any kind of forum. There are inevitably, well, first there are what they call the trolls. They're the ones who show up for the express purpose of being negative. And they know they're there to be negative, and they're there to instigate negativity. They live for it.
Right.
And the thing that strikes me more than anything else is that none of them ever seem to notice that their negativity doesn't actually lead to anything positive for themselves. It doesn't actually make them feel better. It doesn't improve their circumstances. They get no positive results out of it. And yet, they're stuck in the pattern. They just keep doing it over and over again.
Well, and one thing I might have a little disagreement with you, that while you and I wouldn't see anything negative, getting positive out of it, they clearly keep doing it, so they're finding something they enjoy about it. So or you wouldn't keep doing it. I mean, you know, we keep doing behaviors over and over because we are getting something out of it. Now, it might be incredibly negative what we're getting out of it, but at the same time, you don't do something that you're not finding some reward base in your brain to do.
Well, that's true. I mean, if you're getting negative attention and it's the only kind of attention you
right.
know, and you need attention, then I suppose that you're getting something out of it. So in
right.
a very twisted sense, then I guess there's a benefit there.
Well, and I deal, you know, I deal a lot with foster care kids that have been through a lot of stuff, and you'll often see these incredibly horrible behaviors that attract attention. Well, they're so desperate for some type of attention that they will do anything to get it, and while they're getting a payoff of the attention, it's actually creating a horrible circumstance for them. But you know, your point's well taken. I'm not trying to be argumentative. It certainly is. There's people that have become accustomed to that role of antagonist, and they want to be there. And when you look at an individual personality type, like we're looking at, what is the law of attraction with the individual personality? What matches your individual tastes and your desires? And say that you want to everybody wants something, but understanding who you are first. This is the piece where I had to do a lot of research and on my internal stuff. What you're seeking has to be congruent with who you are and what you're really wanting in life.
Yeah, that's the key. Yep.
And that's the million-dollar answer. It has to be something that matches, because you can't bring about what you don't really believe things about. Mm-hmm. I mean, that you don't really feel about. And that's... And that's where people people say they want more money. I don't know anybody who says they don't want more money. But understanding, what does having more money, what's that going to accomplish? What are you seeking with more money? And that's where you start feeling when they start talking about creating an environment versus attracting something. You're creating an environment of wealth. What are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. And how are you going to do that? And it doesn't need to be. Doesn't mean it has to be great things you want to do. You might want to just build a $27 million home. Okay, we'll go do that. But that's got to really match what you want. I have no desire to have a 10,000 square foot home or even a 3,000 square foot home. That's way too big. That's just stuff you got to keep clean. So the idea that I'm out trying to bring about, what is the purpose, the reason, or what do I want my purpose or reason to be? And then sort of getting everything lined up. And that's that, to me, getting all that lined up and in harmony is when things start happening.
Absolutely true. And in fact, I would add to it, the whole concept of individual uniqueness is that it means you're unique. It means that there's something about you, or some things about you, more often than not, it's more than one, that makes you different from everybody else. The thing that strikes me most about the negatarians, whether they be libertarian or otherwise, is that their behavior is not unique. There is nothing unique about it, because there is so much of it going on that's exactly like it, you know, by millions of other people. And yet, that is, like you pointed out, that is a way that people who aren't getting enough attention, who aren't getting what they're wanting out of life, they'll settle for a very negative form of it, in the feeling that it will somehow make them feel better. And really, that's the same thing as saying it will somehow make them unique. But it doesn't. And that's why it's never satisfying. And right. That's why I think you've had so much success with the kids you've worked with, because you show them they don't have to live that way. They don't have to choose that way. They can actually choose something better.
Right. And that becomes, once people are freed up to choose and understand that their own individual path is right, and they're not, it doesn't have to match anyone's individual path, that becomes sort of a freeing experience. Society sort of tells us, this is what you want, you know. Well, I tell people all the time. I have a really good friend. He does very well, and he was contemplating. He loves to move. He creates businesses and moves to a new area and creates more business. He didn't realize he loved to move. That's just what he was doing.
Right.
And so he was talking to me about buying this house down in Florida. It's a really nice home, and I said, why don't you rent it? And he goes, well, buying it is better. And I go, why? And he went through the normal thing. I said, but you're going to move in 3 years. And he goes, well, how do you know that? I go, well, you've moved within 3 years for the last 20, every year, every 3 years. So
if you were a betting man, which you're not anymore.
Yeah, if I were a betting man still, I'd probably, the odds. And I said, instead of fighting that urge, that wanderlust, as I call it, embrace it. That's who you are. And he said, he talked to me, said, well, I want to still go ahead and buy it. I mean, the guy makes plenty of money. And he called me later. He goes, you've given me an entirely new way to look at this. Instead of fighting my wanderlust, he said, I am going to rent. I'm going to lease this house for 2 years. And then I'm going to go lease another house somewhere else for two. That I do enjoy this. So cool. Instead of fighting it, he's on board with it now. Now he can bring about stuff that matches.
Fantastic.
And so instead of society telling you the American dream is to buy your own home, pay it down, you know, all that, that's great for 90% of the people in the country, but don't accept that as your dream.
Unless it is.
Unless it is. And also don't do the opposite and say, well, that's everybody else's dream. I want it. If it is, it is. Accepting yourself where you are is the key to happiness. This is who you are. And whatever's going to match that and that individual thinking, and as we do that, one of the things that you're talking about, the libertarians and being, I like the idea of less government. I'm about let's promote from within. Let's focus on here, and let the rest of the world. Not getting into politics too deep, but I want to give an example. Is a week or two ago there was a there was talk on and I don't watch the news, but I do read once a week. I do look at a news site and get sort of an unbiased just what's going on, and. There was a apparently Russian plane flew over one of our ships, and they made it sound like, you know, the Russians were really messing with us, really bad. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, the Russians shouldn't mess with that. Well, it turns out our ship was in the Black Sea. Look at a map.
It's a lot closer to Russia than it is to the United States.
Yeah, it would be the equivalent of a Russian ship being in the Gulf of Mexico and us flying over it.
Yeah.
And so if that were to happen, we would be like, well, thank goodness we warned them. Well, we're basically in their Gulf of Mexico. So, again, not taking any political side, but understanding that we're wasting our energy and focus on stuff around the world when here we have incredible things happening in our country if we could focus on that.
Oh, yeah.
We have an incredible group of people, resilient people, and our differences is what makes us incredibly strong. The idea that we have such a diverse population with the ability to manufacture, be very creative, our brilliant minds at work here, and we're not taking advantage of it. That's where our focus should be. And at least in my opinion, again, as a libertarian. So that's the positive side of libertarianism to me, of less interference, you know, worldwide, focusing here on us. And I do believe that most people in general want to live a moral life. A libertarian doesn't believe that you should be able to go murder someone. Of course not. There's laws and consequences for that. But individual choices and decisions are your point, are up to you. I wear my seatbelt every day. I have worn my seatbelt every day long before it was a law to wear my seatbelt. The moment my government told me I had to wear my seatbelt, I didn't want to wear it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And most of you are saying it's silly, and I still wear it. Not because it's a law, because it's common sense to wear my seatbelt. I don't need the government to tell me that. My kids have always wore their seatbelt. And that's something that they're you know that I insisted on. Their safety is a great issue. A seatbelt makes sense, but yet there's going to be that one person that goes, well, if you didn't wear your seatbelt, this one guy had a wreck. He got thrown clear of the wreck, and he's fine. He didn't wear a seatbelt. Statistically, it's better to wear your seatbelt, but I don't need my government to tell me that. And that's my personality type. So everybody has, and that doesn't mean that should be everyone's personality type. Nor is my belief system built on you needing to believe the way I believe. That's very important.
That's good. Yeah. Let me tell you what my view of libertarian is. This is going to be my positarian view. And I doubt that you've actually heard this from a libertarian before. So kind of, you know, you better take that seatbelt and buckle up.
Okay.
Here's what I believe. I believe in a society of prosperity. And not just for the wealthy. Prosperity for everyone, which sounds kind of crazy because we're not used to having that. Nobody alive today has ever had that. But we actually could have that. It's not difficult to have. You have to follow some of the principles that libertarians believe in order to get it. But we could actually have it to the point where people who are earning the equivalent of what we call minimum wage are actually able to live on it. There's very good reasons why they can't live on it right now, but none of them have to do with freedom. They all have to do with taking away freedoms. Well, let's start, you know, putting some more freedom in very specific ways that I won't get into here because it gets too argumentative and technical. I don't want to do that. But we could actually set up a society very, very quickly where everybody experiences prosperity. Now, when everybody's experiencing prosperity, guess what comes along with that? You get peace. Peace happens whenever everybody's feeling prosperous. When people are feeling like they're in need, when they feel like, you know, they're deprived, that there's, you know, some master over them, or, you know, that kind of thing, that's when they start getting warlike for a variety of reasons. And it's not good, but nevertheless, we should recognize peace and prosperity go together. They are almost inseparable. In fact, it's very difficult to find a period in history where there was some degree of prosperity that didn't also have a large degree of peace that went along with it. So there's two good aspects of a libertarian philosophy. A third aspect, respect. Respect beyond what we have today. People think that there's been a lot of progress made in social respect, and there certainly has been compared to, say, 50 years ago. But boy, it could be a whole lot more. And it can, we can actually get there when we start respecting people in all ways. Well, one of the ways that you respect people is kind of along the lines of what you were talking about. Stop passing laws to tell people what to do when they already know to do it anyway. It's right. Not like you've accomplished anything except to perhaps massage your own ego. Like, oh, well, I just made society better by forcing everyone to wear seatbelts. No, you didn't. Come on, that's right. Self-deception right there. Exactly. Let's stop deceiving ourselves. Let's start saying, you know what? This is a pretty good world. We have good people in this world. Sure, there are a few bad ones, but, you know, like 98% of the people are good. Very, very good people. Let's start appreciating that. Let's start focusing on the positives in the world, which, by the way, is a political statement. Because it's so unusual. It's so unusual for people to focus on positives. But imagine if we actually had leadership that encouraged us to look at all the wonderful things that are going on in our country every single day. First of all, approval ratings of the people in leadership positions would go sky high because, like, oh, wow, things are better under them. Well, things didn't actually get better. It's just that they started pointing out how good the world really is. And right. All of a sudden, everybody's attitude started to improve. So, you know, there's a lot of ways that a libertarian society can actually make things a lot better. And the really funny thing about it is, this is what most of the other political philosophies promise, but they fail to provide them because they don't actually follow up along the lines I described. They follow up on, let's find a cause, something that's really bad, we're going to make it sound even worse, and then we're going to solve it, and that's how it will be good. Well, no, that's not the way it actually works, is it? They find a problem, they make it sound really bad, and it gets worse.
Well,
it's law of attraction in action.
It really is. One of the things that I really believe took place, and in my opinion is not about the man, but Ronald Reagan was really good at making you feel good about being an American.
He did, yeah.
Whether you liked him or disliked him, he really made everybody feel good, and that changed. I mean, when Jimmy Carter left office, Jimmy Carter was talking about, you know, we need to cut back, we need to wear sweaters, we need to turn our heat down, we got to conserve, we don't have an abundance. Well, Ronald Reagan came along and said, "Are you kidding me? Not only do we have an abundance, we want to flash our let's do this, let's buy big cars, let's spend all our money, and let's really get out there and show what being Americans are about." Well. Not suggesting either side's right, but all just pointing out his perspective made people feel better about being an American, and that changed how people felt. If we could have been continued more about what is right, and that's I just find so much right in our country. Not right wing or left wing, but I find so much correct in our country that's going well. That gets underreported. There's a lot of selfless stuff. I attend a meeting every Thursday evening, and it is a group of foster parents that there are between 50 and 60 sets of foster parents that attend this meeting. these are people that I would say 90% of them have decided to take a stand and bring children who do not have a home into their own home, and most of the time with it, unbelievable chaos that comes with this. And they do it for very little. It's not a profitable venture at all, despite what some people believe. It's not profitable on any level. You spend much more money on the kids than you're able to recoup, and nor should you be recouping that. I'm not worried about that. But I find it amazing that so many people come together that are willing to open their home. They're willing to do that. That's missed in our country. We're focused on what's wrong, but there's a lot of great stuff that's going on every week, every day.
There absolutely is. No doubt about it. And the fact that it doesn't get the attention it deserves, well, first of all, it shows just how dysfunctional our society really is. We are so heavily conditioning ourselves and each other to focus on negatives, we don't even notice the good stuff that's happening. And we set ourselves up when we do that.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm hoping that we can, you know, as we look at our individual stuff and where we're at, all this becomes a way to look at what's right and look at where, you know, your wants are going to be different than my wants, Walt. That's okay. A lot of our wants and desires are the same. Once our radio show becomes nationwide, we're going to be very happy.
We have that one in common for sure.
We have that one in common.
But it would actually be rather boring if all of our wants were the same.
Well, exactly. I have been my life for the last couple of months. For some people, would be viewed as probably the most incredibly boring journey you could possibly imagine. I have been on a news blackout / reprogramming of my brain journey the last several months, last 3 months probably, and have found it to be the most amazing awakening that you could possibly imagine. I'm listening. Football started, so I will say that I have been watching some football, but that's not deprogramming. That's at least maintaining. but I have tuned out the media, and I have replaced any news with a study of the brain, the law of attraction, quantum thinking, which is sort of the science behind the law of attraction, positive psychology, just so much stuff that I have been programming and programming and programming. I felt great before. I feel incredible now, and I just love the way I wouldn't change anything. Now, from some people's perspective, it'd be like, wow, that's just too much. I have friends that are like, okay, well, that's enough. I'm like, well, I appreciate that. I really do. But I'm finding it great for me. I'm not suggesting that anyone else follow this path exactly. I'm suggesting...
I'm following it partially, but not exactly. Because I'm not listening to all the positive speakers that you're listening to, but I have been on the news blackout. And in fact, I didn't even know about the Russian incident you talked about. That was the first I'd heard of it. So.
Right. As my blackout, I don't watch any of the CNN or Fox News or any of those. I don't watch any of that. I will go to sort of a neutral website. Actually, it's from England, and these guys are pretty good, and they just list facts of headlines. I mean, they don't give commentary, which I love. I try to do that once a week just to see what's happening. I unfortunately in my neighborhood. Around the corner from me, there was a lady that was a domestic situation that had been killed by what we believe is her husband at this point. And I didn't know about that until someone at the gym told me, you believe what happened? And I'm like, no, what happened? They told me. And I couldn't believe it, that this is within a quarter of a mile of my house.
Right.
And I live in probably the most boring neighborhood in the entire world. Nothing ever happens in my neighborhood.
Nothing ever happens.
Nothing. I mean, you know, I went on vacation 1 week and left my garage door open and my front door unlocked and came home, and nothing's missing. Somebody took my garbage out to the road. That was nice. That's my neighborhood. So, you know, it's like, okay, this is pretty awesome, but not belittling that someone lost their life.
No,
however, I wasn't aware. So it doesn't register on my orbit is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. And in fact, that lack of awareness is really critical. That's what makes this whole news blackout thing work so well. I mean, yes. I'm sure that the positive side of listening to the law of attraction speakers and so forth has its own benefits. But just the news blackout alone, I can say from experience, because that's the part I've been doing, has a tremendous benefit that I didn't know would happen, which is that because I'm not weighing myself down with all the bad news that's out there, when it comes to dealing with my personal stuff every day, I'm finding it's a lot easier to deal with it.
Yes.
It's easier to not only deal with it, it's easier to get myself into the positive framework that I know I need to be in so that I don't keep attracting the negative stuff.
Yes.
And that part is like, whoa, why didn't somebody tell me that? Why didn't somebody tell me that if you stop watching the news, it becomes easier to start achieving your goals?
It is... Probably, it's always been a suggestion when I work with my clients, but it has now become the first suggestion. It is right up there with cutting sugar out of your diet. It is one of the first things that I go to is turn off the news.
I would even suggest that the news is more toxic than sugar, which is saying something.
That is saying something. I mean, we could have – that's probably a very close one, but I do agree. I do agree that the new – and I didn't know the value until – I always said it. And I didn't think I watched that much news, but when you literally black it out and you take away the daily negativity that's attached to that, they don't call it programming for nothing.
Absolutely.
It is programming.
Ugh.
And by
of the worst kind. That's the thing that gets me.
Yes.
It's the worst kind.
And it is about instantly, with technology we have today, we instantly know what's going wrong with everything in the world within minutes of it happening.
Yes.
And we're having breaking news about what's happening in, Jakarta. I just made that up. It may be a place. I don't know, but I just made that name.
You're close. There's actually a name very similar to that.
Okay. And you see this, and you see that there was a horrible image that somehow got on my news feed one day of this little boy apparently somewhere in Syria that was sitting in a chair just bleeding from his head. And I immediately just was like, oh, gosh. I don't know the context. I don't know what was going on. I immediately clicked it off and just said, I don't – I me seeing it doesn't help that little boy.
No, I mean, what were you going to do, get onto a commercial jetliner and fly over and patch his wound?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not practical.
Right. And so the idea of just working hard on filtering, there have been tons of studies, tons, that say what you see and what you witness cannot be distinguished from it really happening to you in the subconscious. So when you're watching that, subconsciously you're going through that. We often talk about the September 11th playing the plane over and over, flying into the building.
Right.
It is the equivalent of 45 times that plane flew into the building.
That's right.
Two planes hit the building, in New York. But that one hitting the tower that we saw live, they played that loop from every angle multiple times, and every time we watched it, it just got reinforced that was happening.
That's a key point right there, that it was happening at that moment. Because the brain can't tell the difference between the past and the present. Our conscious minds can, but the brain can't.
Right.
So from the brain's perspective, the same event was happening repeatedly.
Right. And in fact, that was before I had my boys, but a young man that I knew that through a friend, as a son of a friend of mine, I think he was 10 at the time, I saw them the Saturday afterwards, and Florida had a little tropical storm right after September 11th come through. So we were without electricity for a couple of days, and I went over to their house, and I heard the kids' interpretation. The dad asked me, said, "Well, it's been a rough week," and I go, "Yeah, certainly been a rough week." And the son said, "Yeah, those planes kept flying into that building."
Mm.
And I didn't pick up what he was saying. I said, "Yeah, that was terrible." He said, "Dad, how many planes hit?"
Right.
And he said, "Well, two." And he goes, No. I saw at least 100.
Yeah.
And his 10-year-old brain processed that as the plane hitting 100 different planes hitting that building over and over and over.
And he was right.
He was right. And his trauma of and I said, well, first of all, I told him, and this is before I was really into where I'm at right now. I said, well, what you need to do is go turn on the Cartoon Network.
Right.
Let's
which has people beating each other up in cartoon fashion, but that's another story.
At least it's cartoon fashion. I mean, it is not this real life drama playing out before you. But I said, forget about all that. I said, but that, you know, and the interesting thing, now he's a grown man now, and we have talked about that several times. He said, as a child, he said, I thought there were multiple planes in New York bombing all those buildings.
Right.
And he said, I was scared to death that they were coming for us next.
Right.
And that, you know, I said,
and that's, you know, exactly it.
What
he was expressing was what the nation was feeling and continues to feel to this day.
Yes.
That the attack is imminent.
Yes. And this is the piece that is so important for all of us as who we are and inside, how do we apply the law of attraction to our own individual self? Getting right back to that original topic.
Right.
Understanding that programming our brain has to be congruent with what we are and who we are. What we're asking for needs to match that. And once all this gets lined up, the law of attraction has no option but to provide exactly what's lined up. If there's inconsistencies in what we're wanting, then it never comes about, or it comes about the opposite.
And the reason that positive and negative are so important, first of all, positive and negative are subjective. They're not objective.
Absolutely.
They're subjective to what each and every one of us wants in our lives, what's important to us, what our priorities are, what our values are, and so forth. That's what makes the differentiation between whether something is good and something is or something is bad, something is positive or something is negative. But if you also want to take it to the point where you examine the individuality of it, the only way you can actually express individuality when attempting to work with the law of attraction is to focus on the positive side.
Yes.
It's impossible, absolutely 100% impossible, to focus on the negative side, on the stuff that you consider to be negative, and to express individuality. Because yes, individuality is about expressing creativity.
Yes.
Expressing negativity is not creative.
Well, that is so on point, where the individuality is when you allow that individuality to come through and really come bring about, you know, if you want to take it further, and this may be further than we want to take on the show, but if I have a belief that we were all born with individual specific wiring that on a whole could benefit the world. That meaning we all have a purpose. So I mentioned this a long time ago. As a child, I really enjoyed stirring up an ant bed, literally, not you know, I probably did both figuratively as well. But I stirred up ant beds, and what I would do is I would watch the individual ants. They all had a duty.
Right.
Some of the ants came chasing. Who did that? Let's go bite him. Other ants are running down. Other ants are running back down in the hole, saying, "Let's grab a bunch of these eggs and get out of here," because you see them carrying eggs out.
Mm-hmm.
And then some ants are going and down in the hole just to surround the queen. They put their bodies in front of the queen when they're under attack, so they'll get killed first. But every ant knew exactly what they were there. I didn't notice any ants going, "Huh, wonder what I do now." They knew exactly what to do. They went where they were supposed to go.
Who was dithering back and forth saying, "I'm having such a crisis of confidence here."
Yes, yes. I would love to have that individual ant saying, "Okay, I'm sorry. I've just lost it. Somebody, please give me some direction here."
Right.
There wasn't any of that. They all went to where they go because they were programmed with what they were doing. I believe as humans, we are given a unique set of skills, a very unique set of personal skills that – when you get in tune with that, you know, whether it's a deep level of a purpose in life, you want to call it a purpose, or do you want to just say that we have a unique set of skills, that nature has a way of filling every void. So we all have skills that one day would come together and benefit the general direction of humanity when they're used properly. You
And actually, the whole thing about benefiting man generally is it isn't the main purpose, in my view. It's the side benefit.
Side benefit, sure.
The main benefit is to yourself.
Right. Well, and that's the beautiful paradigm of it all is by benefiting yourself, and when you're in tune with who and what you're supposed to be doing, and you're living that, you are living of great benefit to yourself and to your purpose. Then you can't help but be a benefit. It just is amazing how that happens.
Oh yeah, it happens in every single aspect of life. And I guess the even more amazing thing is how often we don't notice it.
Oh yeah. With Dr. Joe DiPenzi, I spoke of him in the past, and he's a neuroscientist, and he's very much into. He had an injury where he really destroyed 6 vertebrae in his back, and after multiple attempts of going to the doctor. And they all wanted to put steel rods in his back, and he kept saying no. He figured out a way to how he used his mind to heal his vertebrae. Mm-hmm. And if you ever do research on him, there's a lot of documentation. He's not lying; it's all true. And as he lied in bed, he said, and he calls it God, but he talks about the universe and his definition of God. He said, "When I get this healed." And if this is successful, when it is successful, I will spend the rest of my life telling people about the mind and body healing connection. That will be my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in, I believe he said 1986 is when it happened. And he has spent the last several years doing that,
right.
Written several books and has really made inroads in legitimate science. He was dismissed as a quack for years, but is starting to really come across as he's getting some attention that's really getting a lot of eyes looking at him like, wow, this guy's onto something.
Uh-huh.
So there's some great stuff with that. So his purpose, mission, direction in life was sort of designed and fulfilled for him. So he's now applying the law of attraction in conjunction with that, and it all is working in unison. He's getting what he wants. He's getting everything he ever dreamed of. He's very fulfilled in life. I tell people every day, they don't believe it. I wake up every day. This is no kidding, and I think people think because I do what I do, it's an act on some level, and maybe it is, but I act like I'm excited to wake up every day. I act like I'm grateful every day, and sure enough, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether people say, well, you're acting. Well, maybe, but it's real. It's become real, if that makes any sense.
It does make sense. In fact, there's also another aspect of this that your comments brought to mind, which is that when people think about an individual trying to discover their purpose in life, many people think of it in terms of a purpose that has to be given to them from outside.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually not accurate at all. All these purposes come from inside. And one of the people who explained this the best, I thought, was the author Neil Donald Walsh, the guy who wrote the Conversation with God books.
Yes.
He also appeared in The Secret. And in fact, this thing I'm going to talk about comes from The Secret. So if you've seen that movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. In that sequence, he describes how people want to and need to find their purpose in life, but they have to understand that there's no blackboard in the sky which says, Neil Donald Walsh, a handsome guy, and he smiles when he says that, who, and then there's a long line, a blank, and you're supposed to have somebody from up high fill in that blank for you. But the thing you have to understand, he says, is that there's no blackboard in the sky.
Right.
So your purpose is what you say it is.
Yes.
So if your purpose is what you say it is, how do you figure out what your purpose is if you don't know? And the answer is, instead of looking out on the sky for the blackboard, looking out there for God to give you a sign, you have to look inward, because that's where you find the answer.
And that's so dead on, because I think of at least for me, again, I was born into a family of addiction, severe depression. I watched addiction destroy my family. I became addicted myself. So now I might not have realized at the time all that was preparing me for my passion one day of working with people with addiction, which led to my passion of working with people and understanding the law of attraction, of understanding how to get the most out of life. Because I realized in my addiction recovery, there was a place where I had, having gambled, which was my addiction at the time, it was my and is my addiction, gambling. I hadn't gambled in a while, and I was happy, but there needed to be more. There was more there. What else is there? There was something missing, mm-hmm. and I kept pursuing that. I remember when I was 9 or 10 years old, and I was in the Southern Baptist Church, and I was told their version of everything that was going on, and I had my gut told me that just didn't seem quite right. And I remember desperately looking for things. And I mean, I would go to the library, and I mean, even at 9 or 10 years old, I just knew there was something else. And I was dismissed every time I tried to discuss it with the clergy or whatever. Just shut up and read the book, and you're fine. And so it wasn't until later, about that time, if you look at the timing of all that, the Seth books, the Seth material with Jane Roberts was out, mm-hmm. and it was actually considered taboo by the Southern Baptists as New Age.
Oh, that would be far too much for them.
Yeah. And so the idea that while that was out, I was craving that, and I didn't know how to find it, but I remember being drawn to, and once I finally read it, I'm going, okay, this was, I looked at the date it was published, I'm going, really? I could tell that's what I was looking for.
Where has this been all my life?
Right. And now that you know, and I must say I completely agree with everything that is said there either.
No.
And that's the point. But the concepts are what I'm looking at. And I keep finding you and I are from very place in the law of attraction. I know so many people that from all over all walks of life that end up here. People that are listening to our show are interested because they're wanting that other piece. Mm. There's something they know that is not there. And once you find this, and so many people get there, I consider ourselves still at the first grade level. We still have a long way to go in our understanding.
But what a first grade it is.
Oh, it's so awesome. And I certainly don't mean a negative by that. What I'm excited about is I'm in first grade and I love what I have right now, but knowing there's so much more to keep getting.
Yeah.
That's the amazing part to me. And so that's why I'm so fascinated. That's why we get on the show do our show every week. We live it. We try to apply it in our lives. And, you know, we do a pretty good job with it. We don't do it perfectly. I don't know of anyone who does. And we keep working toward that. And as we grow, our audience gets to see it, or as we struggle, our audience gets to see it. But this is something that is an inner drive for me that has been developed. It's part of my purpose. It's the reason I get up every morning. I love getting up. I really do. I love getting up. I love doing our show. I love what's around the corner. If I were to wake up and say, there's nothing else to learn, I wouldn't be very excited about that. Or I have it all figured out, and it's like, okay, that wouldn't excite me very much. You know, I believe that everyone that's listening, there's one word that I think people are searching for, right, that gives them a reason to wake up every morning, and it's hope. Hope is what gets us – hope of this is going to be what I want it to be. If it was destined to be this way forever and there was no chance of getting better, there's no point of getting up. But the hope of a new understanding and a new life, and you can have that instantly, that's the blessing. That's the amazing thing. A hope of a better world is pretty grandiose to say, but it is one person at a time is how we're going to change the world. We're not going to change it on a global scale instantly. We're going to change it one person at a time. When this becomes the pervasive way of thinking, the world will change.
And as a libertarian, the one person at a time theory to me means start with yourself.
Absolutely.
Because when you start with yourself, you don't actually have to end up changing anybody else. I mean, truly, when it really comes down to it, and I'm sure you agree with me on this, you really can't change anybody else.
Oh, no.
It's really impossible. The only thing you can ever do is influence them. But they're the ones who have to make the change. If any change is going to be made, they have to make it. There can't be any way for you to make the change for them, because if there were, what would be the point of them being alive?
Well,
there wouldn't be. I mean, it'd be pointless.
it frustrates people, especially with family members that are going through addiction, when I have to say, you're not going to recover for them. You're not going to stop them from doing their addiction. You're not going to you've got to allow them to go to the other side. You have to allow them to do it. And often in addiction recovery, and this isn't a negative, it's just the way it is. This is sort of the required path for a lot of people. It doesn't have to be, but it's the required path for many people. Is recovery is on the other side of hell. You got to go through some hell before you appreciate the other stuff. And that happens to a lot of people.
I'll tell you, too, when I was growing up and even in my younger adult years, before I became aware and understanding to any degree of how the law of attraction works, I used to hear the phrase and think to myself how crazy it was. The phrase, it's not the destination, it's the journey. And I would think to myself, you got to be kidding me. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. But now I appreciate it. Now I understand what it means. See, I used to think that this whole idea that the journey is more important than the destination was a way of rubbing out the importance of achieving a goal.
Right.
But that's not what it means at all. What it actually means is, and really I think the journey destination saying comes only from the positive side. I don't think it really can come from the negative side. The journey thing is about there is so much to enjoy. When you actually focus on the journey itself and what's going on there. That's what you were describing when you talked about how you and I and those who listen who are trying to do the same thing, how we try to apply the law of attraction positively in our own lives, not always perfectly, as you pointed out, but we try to do it and we get better and better at it and we get better and better results. And not only do we get better and better results, we get a better experience. The experience Absolutely. Is better. That's the journey. The journey is having wonderful experience after wonderful experience, improved experience. That's even better than wonderful. Improved Yes. experience. Every day, my experience of how I am learning to, you know, avoid the situation where, you know, if I can't avoid it, you know, try to get out of it quickly. Avoid the situation where something bad happens and I react with, Well, now, yeah, that does still occasionally happen, but the next thought that comes to my mind is, oh boy, I sure don't want to stay in this place.
Right, right.
And so now all of a sudden I'm reaching for, okay, how do I get out of this situation? How do I get my mood changed? Because that's what's actually going to change it. When I change my mood, all of a sudden the path's going to be revealed to me, which is, by the way, part of the journey.
Well, and that, you know, that whole hearing that journey thing for years, I was like, okay, that's, you know, silliness. And then, like you're pointing out, when I look back on my life, I've had several goals, I've had several destinations, I've had several things that I had in mind of what my life would look like. It's been years since I've had a vision of, you know, what I used to think it would look like and what I think it's going to look like now. It's so vastly different. But I look at what the journey and how it affected everything I believe. The journey was the necessary part. I still have an evolving destination. My destination evolves frequently in my mind. The journey itself has been such an incredible, the path, I just love it. And I try to tell people one of the most exciting times of my life was right after I got into addiction recovery. From gambling, I was living. It was a very difficult time. I thought it was a very difficult time, but it was some of the most exciting time I've had in my life. But I was so focused on the destination of recovery that I didn't enjoy the journey of recovery as much as I could have. And that's one of the things I try to get people that I work with now. Enjoy this process. Enjoy it. The what you're going through may seem like it's negative, but I look back on some of those times as my fondest memories now. But I didn't realize that at the time.
And I think the differentiator there is the positive versus negative. Because yes. You're right. When we're in a tough spot, the first thing we look at is the negative side of it.
Right.
When what we really need to do is find that positive. Even if it's just one, and it's almost never just one.
Right.
But just finding one can be a challenge when you're in that place, when you're in that really black hole. There aren't any good things going on here. Well, yeah, actually there are. You just got to look for them. And once you look for them and actually find one and start relying on finding one each time, all of a sudden, that's the journey. Now the journey is, wow, I just improved. I'm in a black hole, but I improved. That shouldn't happen. How did that happen?
Yes. And that there was one thing in particular, somebody, when I was down in Florida recently, someone mentioned, I totally had forgotten about this. When I was early in recovery, I had less than zero money. I was in bad shape financially. And I was working multiple jobs. I had restitution to pay. And I was so stressed and focused on money. I really wasn't enjoying life. So there was a Saturday afternoon, and I'm a Florida Gator fan. So there's a Florida Gator football game on. And I was, you know, I was able to have cable TV, which was, looking back, was a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, not bad for a guy with no money and less than no money.
Exactly. And so my neighbor came out and said, hey, you want to have a cookout? And I go, I would love to have a cookout. I can't buy anything. He goes, don't worry about it. So we'll get some hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff. Well, that was fun. We brought the TV outside where we could watch the game. And it was a beautiful afternoon. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a fall day in Florida, a rare cool day in Florida. And it was really nice and breezy. And then the neighborhood, a lot of people in the neighborhood, we were playing wiffle ball. Like 25 people, grown-ups and kids, were all playing wiffle ball. We had a blast. Well, I was down in Florida a few weeks ago, and I did not remember this guy. I said, are you Joel? And I said, yeah. He said, do you remember when we played wiffle ball? And I'm like, yeah, I remember playing wiffle ball. I don't remember you. Well, this is a grown man now. He's at the time, probably a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to make the connection sometimes.
Yeah. And he introduced himself, and I said, oh, my gosh. I said, how you doing? He said, I wanted to tell you, that was one of the most fun days of my life. I remember that. We had so much fun. We played wiffle ball. He said, I hit 2 home runs, and I caught, and he told me all about the day. And he said, that we watched the Gator game. He said, I told my dad that was one of the most fun days I've ever had in my life, and he tells his kids, which was shocking, he has kids now, that he said, I don't know if my kids will ever have that day because of the electronics and the stuff they're distracted with. He said, but that was such an amazing day for him. And I really got lost in, I do remember what a great day that was. And if people could start appreciating those days when you don't even realize that they're happening. Every day, just like you said, there's something going on every day. That's positive, something. Mm-hmm. And when you're able to tune into that, what an incredible life it becomes.
That's what the whole thing about these law of attraction exercises, that's what they're all about. They're about helping us retune to the positive things that happen so that we can enjoy the journey a whole lot more.
Right.
And in the process, oh, by the way, start attracting the stuff we want instead of the stuff we don't want. That's the byproduct. But the actual event is life becomes better.
Yes, and that's everything right there, Walt. Because I look back to that time, and my life is so different than back then. But at the same time, I a lot of great stuff happened, and more and more great stuff like that happened, and then I started living, started feeling better, and then once I started tuning into the fact that things aren't so bad, things are really pretty good, and in comparison to where I have been, they're incredible. And so I've been living a life right now. That, you know, I've set the bar so high on what crazy and destructive is that, you know, it's like I haven't come close to living my worst day ever. You know, my worst days ever are anywhere near right now. So if I'm having what I think is a bad day today, I have gotten through so much worse than what I have right now. This is, don't waste your time worrying about this silly stuff now.
And it's also critically important, I think, because I'm sure this is the way you look at it. I imagine many people who hear your story or a similar story about the terrible stuff you went through focuses a lot of attention on the terrible stuff you went through. And I know that's not what you're doing.
Oh,
you don't even see that part.
No, you
describe it to make the story complete.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not the way you experience it in your mind.
No. In fact, as you know, I've reassigned meaning to those quote-unquote terrible times. If you don't know the story, we don't have time to tell it today, but me eating out of a trash can was the most important thing I've ever had to do in my life.
Which sounds horrible, and it is.
If you just heard that story, you're going, what the heck is this guy talking about?
Right, but that's not the part you remember.
That's not the part I remember. It was transformative because it later tied into another event, which was necessary. So me eating out of a trash can was pivotal. It wasn't great, and I don't want to go eat there again, but it was necessary.
Yeah, it's not exactly high dining.
No, it's not. I had filet mignon last night, so you understand, and this is so important to what you're going through. Whatever, I have to assume that if someone's taking the time to listen to our program, they're intrigued by what they're doing, and they also want to learn how to get here. And I really, really am excited that they're on this journey because it is the most amazing thing that you start. And I still have epiphanies every day. And that's what I want for our audience. That's the reason we do this every week.
Absolutely. And in fact, not only is it good for us, it's good for those who are listening. We're all getting this great benefit out of it. But yes. Look what's happened. We didn't plan to do this. But look what the way we've run this show this week, Joel. The first half of the show, we spent talking about the negatarian stuff, the right. Negative side of the law of attraction, the negative side of life, how people focus on it, all the detriments that come out of it. The second half of the show, we've been talking about the positives. And,
right.
and it was almost right halfway through that we switched over. It wasn't planned in any way, but that's what we ended up doing. Look how much better we feel right now. I mean, it's not news to either one of us, but look how much better we feel. And I'm sure that people who have stuck with us on the show this week and have been listening through are feeling the same thing. Well, that's the point.
Yes.
The point is, when you decide to do that in your own life, every single day, looking at the positive instead of the negative, you end up feeling better. You end up experiencing a better life. That's the point.
I really sincerely believe that we are in great, we're living in great times. It is not something I'm making up. I believe that now. I know. I don't know how all it's going to work out, and I know there's a lot of stuff going on, but there's amazing stuff taking place, and my focus is on the amazing stuff, and it continues to take place. I am amazed at what I see. I see heroes. I see miracles. I see amazing things. I have a job where I get to see miracles every week, and see life change. I go sit in adoption court and see broken families turned into whole families. I mean, wow. I see amazing things happen every week. So what better world is that? And that's my world.
And it gets better every week.
It does. It does.
Which is the really cool part.
Yes.
And not that bad things don't happen.
Of course.
I mean, you experience them.
I experience them. I'm human, but what happens is the power of what I perceive as bad at the time. I don't remember this true story. I'm sure I dealt with stuff last week. I don't remember the bad stuff at all. I remember a lot of the great stuff last week. I remember a lot of the great breakthroughs my clients had last week. I don't remember the bad stuff last week.
And by the way, that's a measure of how long you've actually been working on staying in the positive zone. Because when you haven't been working on it very long, the opposite tends to be the experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that is normal. That you're going to experience that if you're just starting out. You're going to experience, I just keep remembering the negatives. But it doesn't stay that way.
Right. And that's something that is so has to be so clear in your mind that this gets better. This gets easier. And you once you get into a pervasive positive mindset, the negative stuff or the stuff you worried about, on September, 15th of 2015, what was your problem then? What was your biggest problem on that? You know, and if you don't remember, then there wasn't a lot of worrying about it then.
I can't remember what I did last week, let alone a year ago.
Exactly. But I know that with me, where I have moved my meter to positive, I have, again, I see great things take place every single week. I'm amazed by it.
It is amazing. And I can't wait to keep doing it. I wish we could do it more because we're out of time. But Joel, it's been absolutely wonderful as usual.
Great to talk to you, my friend.
We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody. It might